What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 375, and it's actually episode 375 because last week Ryan had internet issues and we couldn't do episode 375.
Yeah, pushed it back.
Yeah. How was your internet just went out?
It went out at like 4:30 in the afternoon and wasn't up until sometime overnight, like 1 or 2 in the morning. Yeah. But you realize like how much you depend on it or like rely on it now for things. And it was interesting.
What did you do?
It's all good. I don't even remember. It was It was really hot last week. So it was like we couldn't just like go outside and hang out and do stuff. So it was inside without any,
And you do think too, because like all of your stuff now is streaming. So like you don't have, like for the kids, like you don't necessarily have physical copies of movies or things to watch.
Sure.
You might have got
a Plex server, but.
Okay. Yeah. But it's just, when the power does go out, you're like, it is kind of nice though for a second. You're like, I'm unplugged,
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. It's definitely nice. But it kind of worked out because I was going to an event last week and I got to go down early and hang out with some of the guys before. Because we were going to do the podcast, then I was going to leave after the podcast and head down to this event. But I decided to, head down early, which we'll definitely get into. It is the end of August, man.
I know, it's flying by. I was in a work call today and talking about a deadline in December, and I got me thinking. I'm like, and that's really not that far away either.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, like we just talked about before we got on here, is like I just booked everything for CES in January. You got to get that stuff done. And it's just, it will go by quick because as we get into holiday season and everything like that, things will really pick up as far as product reviews and a lot of that type of stuff. It's going to go by quick. And it's just always like, so my birthday was on the 21st. And every time it's my birthday, like when I lived back in Pittsburgh, that was like, you knew the end of the summer was coming because it would get colder and stuff. That doesn't happen as much here, but it's still like, okay, got to get back in the driver's seat, got to get reviews going, got to get stuff ready for CES.
Got ahead of holiday season.
Yeah, holiday season, CES, all kinds of crazy stuff. And this event that I went to was obviously a good little jump start on that. Taltosh is in the chat. He's talking about Starfield. He's been talking about Starfield in our Discord. He's super excited. He showed me a video, a music video for Starfield, which was really cool. Yeah. If you're in our Discord, you would have seen it.
Can't check it.
Yeah. But I forget the name of the band he sent it in there. Imagine Dragons has a Children of the Sky Starfield. Yeah, it's really cool. It gets you especially if you were like Talto, she's like super excited for the game. If you are super excited for the game, this will get you even more excited. I was talking to him in our Discord and I was like, it reminds me of the Gears of War. Gears of War did like a similar thing, like they did a video too. So that's kind of exciting. I don't know if I'm gonna get it. Everybody's talking about it. Taltosh is talking about it, but watching that music video made me think about getting it. So I guess it did its thing. That's so
good marketing.
But yeah, guys, we're gonna jump into, we have so much to talk about because again, we didn't have a podcast last week. So we have all of our reviews for 2 weeks plus news for 2 weeks, but I only picked out the like top things to this podcast. So it wouldn't be like 2 hours. So obviously you guys know, just go on the website if you want to see anything that we didn't talk about, but these are just like the cream of the crop things. We have, again, a lot of stuff to go over. If you guys did want to follow along, we do have our show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So if you are here live in the live stream, you can click through and see the reviews as we're talking about them. Of course, if you're listening later and want to learn more, this is a great place to, get links to everything that we're going to be talking about. And the first thing, first review is, I have it actually, it's right here. It's a Lenovo Yoga 9i 2023 edition, obviously.
It definitely looks like it has a different aspect ratio for that screen, does it?
It's 16 by 10.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it's a 14-inch, 16 by 10. One thing that you commented last year when I did the 22 is it still has like the kind of silverish, or it's kind of hard to see in the, if I bring it up here, but it's like really chrome. Like I can't even focus because it's chrome, but like the chrome accents on it and everything like that. It's a really great laptop. Probably, again, I don't review a ton of laptops, but it's definitely one of my favorites. If you're not going to go the ThinkPad routes, this is a really, really good laptop for a bunch of different reasons. One of the main reasons is that it is a Yoga. If you're not familiar with that, it means that the laptop itself, all right. Oh, wrong page. If you have this, say, like on a plane or you're doing something else, you can flip it around and do different things with it. So, you know, here would be the laptop and your normal, you know, just like a normal laptop, right? But then you can actually make it completely flat. This is actually really useful for people who are having clients like sign things and do things.
Oh, true.
You can just like, just put it down. They can sign it on that side. It's pretty cool. You can also do tent mode, and tent mode is extremely, extremely useful. If you've ever flown on a domestic flight in the United States, you know that your tray table, unless you're in first class, is incredibly small. And if you have a laptop, you have no room for a drink. And in years past, I've had my laptop on the tray table like this, and then I have a drink sitting on
That's
there.
Risky.
I've had some close calls. So this, you can have it in tent mode, which is great. You know, so you have extra space where you can put some snacks and drinks. It's really, really useful for that. But also just that, like, if you are watching media, you can put it in this sort of tent mode. It's almost like having a tablet, but you have the tent mode, which makes it a stand itself, which is nice. And then, of course, you do have tablet mode. So you can do full tablet mode. And this is really great for the plane, too, because for some reason, you're allowed to use a tablet before you take off and during takeoff, but you're not allowed to use a laptop. But if you put the laptop in tablet mode, they're not going to yell at you.
Sneaky.
At least they shouldn't. Yeah.
Sneaky.
but tablet mode is great, too, because, again, this does have 10-finger touch. It does come with, I don't have the pen, but it comes with the precision pen, too. So if you are somebody who needs a laptop, maybe you're a student, maybe you like to take handwritten notes, tons of great apps for that. If you're, you know, so this is great. So it's just like, it turns this into a multitude of devices. I know people that have a laptop and then they have an iPad or Android tablet. Now this just gives you one device for everything, which is just awesome. Brian was talking about the screen. This is a 14-inch screen. It is an OLED, and this picture that I'm showing you just doesn't do it justice. OLED screen, you can do the 2K screen or 4K screen. You can pick which one you want. And man, just using a normal screen and then going to the OLED is night and day. It really, really is a nice experience having an OLED. So you get that with this
whenever,
as well.
Whenever you encounter one, it's just like, you could just tell right away that it's OLED. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that much of a difference.
And that's one of the big upgrades from the previous year is, mm-hmm. yes, you do get OLED on all the models. So every model, you can either do the 2.8K or 4K OLED display, which is really, really nice. And again, even with 2.8K, like, you can see I can do things side by side very easily. If you wanted to multitask, you can go ahead and do that as well. I would be very remiss. I can see a picture I took it comes with, you know, your built-in webcam and microphone. If you wanted to take a call or do calls, I have all those in there. All the samples of audio and, of course, the pictures in there. Backlit keyboard, which is nice. And then you do have the sound bar, which they've turned the hinge into a sound bar. And again, it's so good. It's like, just, you have to experience it, but we've all have heard, you know, speakers on a laptop, they're trash. Yeah. Like, unless you were like a real gaming laptop, a bigger one had a little bit of better sound, but this is so good. And it fills a room. Like, it will fill this office here. It's that good. So if you were looking for a good audio experience, I know that's not obviously what you're looking for when it comes to a laptop, but it is a really great audio experience. You won't have to pick up speakers later. If you're using this in a dorm room, in an office, bedroom, it's gonna fill the room, which is really great, you know, because again, it's small. So I really, really like this laptop. As far as specs under the hood, ours has the Intel Core i7 1360p that comes on all models, 16 gigabytes of DDR5. Our model had the 512 gigabyte NVMe SSD. That's a Gen 4 drive, and it is fast. You know, it's like I said, overall, using this laptop is great. We have all of our benchmarks and testing going through, but you can see the drive as well. You know, very, very fast speeds for the drive. It also has two Thunderbolt ports, and they do put a Type-A. I didn't mention that. This is something you don't see on new laptops. Yeah. Is the addition of an actual old school Type-A port right here. So you have two Thunderbolts, one USB 3.2 Gen 2 on the opposite side that's also Type-C, but you do get an old school Type-A. And it's so weird to say old school, but I guess, especially when it comes to laptops, you usually get, you're all Type-Cs these days.
Especially on these thin type, right? Like this is pretty thin. So Type-C is the way to go typically. It is nice to see an A on there.
Yeah, so on the other side, same thing. Type-C headphone and mic combo. But yeah, I mean, just because so many of us like use like a wireless mouse, right? And almost all wireless mice, even the newer ones, they still come with a Type-A. And it's like, oh, I gotta have to buy a dongle just to use this one thing of mine. It's, yeah. Or like, you know, you get a flash drive from school, right? Oh, yeah. And the school's not giving you Type-C flash drive.
No.
They're giving you a Type-A. So yeah, it's just great to have that. And it's kind of funny because when I was at this Gigabyte event, they did give us a flash drive with all the information. And somebody there had a new laptop. And they only had type C's and they couldn't access it. So I had to send it to them at the event. So yeah, this is like, you know, stuff like that. It is just thinking, and again, all the companies are going type C, and it's just nice to have the type A there. You know what I mean? So that's really good to see. The model that I took a look at with all those specs is selling for $1,149, which I think is a good deal. I think this laptop's gonna last you a long time. And again, just all the upgrades, the newer processor, all the models have 16 gigabytes of memory, I believe, too. So that was a big upgrade because previous one, you could do 8 or 16. They all have 16 gig now. I believe
that was soldered, though, right?
Yeah, it is soldered. To get these thin in like designs, that's
they've got a space savings.
And I do feel that companies do that, so you have to buy a new one. That's just...
I'm sure it factors into their decision.
Yeah. But like I said, I do feel like this laptop's going to last you a very long time. I didn't have really any issues with it at all. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and recommend it. So if you're looking for a new laptop, and again, I'm a big ThinkPad person. I like the quality of the ThinkPad. But if you didn't want to go the ThinkPad route, this IdeaPad or Yoga, sorry, not IdeaPad. They used to call it the IdeaPad Yoga. Now it's just the Yoga. The Yoga 9i is excellent choice. I really, really like it. So check out the review. And like I said, if you get one, let us know, because it is a really awesome laptop. And then after that, I took a look at some fans we saw at CES in January. Yep. The Thermaltake Swafan EX12. They have an EX14, which is 140 millimeters. These are 120 millimeters. They are RGB fans. But the biggest thing about these is that they're magnetic, and with the magnetic, they have these pogo connections. You can see right here, and then you can see the actual connection on the other side, and they magnetize together, and that daisy chains all your connections together. So not only your power, but also your RGB signal is all daisy chained together. So there's no wires, because this is a three fan kit. If you had three fans, that means you have six cables coming off of those three fans. Now, all you have, so you can see how they kind of would just, again, slide together, which is really awesome. And then you have this single connection that connects to the end.
So nice.
And that just has, again, one single connection that goes to the controller that comes with these fans. Now, the only caveat to that is that this connection on the end for the controller is proprietary. So you can't use the controller with any other RGB or ARGB thing. It has to be Thermaltake. There are other Thermaltake products that will work with this, but just like when Corsair started doing that, like you're in their ecosystem now. So that's the only thing to keep in mind. And again, you kind of see why they do that, but it does make it a lot easier because again, it's just one connection right to their controller. And another thing that I think you would appreciate about these fans too, is that they come with two different fan blades. Two different sets of fan blades. So the ones that, the ones that come with them, they're the ones that push through, but then the other ones are the ones that pull up. So again, just like with my setup that you guys can't see, but I have fans on the bottom pushing up, they're upside down and they just don't look as nice. You know, with this, the fan frame stays the same and you don't have to have these upside down fans in your system. It just makes for a better overall look of everything. And I think that that's a killer thing. And again, it's an expenditure on Thermaltake side because I mean, most fans don't come, as you can see, with an extra set of blades, but yeah, you get all of that, which is definitely really nice. You can see the controller here as well. And then, like I said, connecting everything and getting everything set up is extremely easy. Here you can see the entire setup. So you have the fans, again, that one cable coming off, going into the controller. The controller needs power, and the controller needs to go via USB into your system. Now, the one thing that I didn't like about this controller is that for some reason, it uses a Molex. It does not use SATA power, which is very weird. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Gotta
let Mike know.
Yeah.
You guys gotta change this up.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Because that could be a whole nother like cable and bundle of cables you're putting into your modular power supply just for this device.
Yeah.
Like, why?
And I mean, people don't like necessarily throw things away, but you know, you're like, oh, I'll never use the Molex anymore. What am I going to use that for? Yeah. So that was the only caveat. But getting them installed was extremely easy. You can see them installed here. And one thing that's nice is once you get them together, the magnets are powerful enough that like you can hold the entire, like all the set of the three fans. So then you can screw it in. It makes things so much easier when installing these fans. And then the software is very easy to use. It worked really well. It did seem dated. You know, and I think Thermaltake's software has been like that for a while because, again, they continue to come out with software and they can't like necessarily revamp. Like this software has to be compatible with
so many
products going back so many years. But it just did seem a little bit dated. But the software does allow you to change, of course, the lighting and change the speed. So you can change the fan speed altogether, which is really nice there. And of course, you can change the fans, and they are ARGB fans. In each one of these little sections, you can go ahead and change, right? So if you want the inner, you know, RGBs to be one color or to do one effect, you can do that. You can have the outer ones. You can do them all at once. They have a bunch of different effects that you can go through. It is easy to use, but like I said, it just seems a little dated, but it's software. That's kind of what you're going to get. But yeah, I really like these fans. They do a good job. And again, I think the biggest thing for me, and I'm sure for you, because in your build, you have a ton of fans and a ton of wiring. And this
That'd just be makes, so nice cleaning yeah, it up.
This just makes the process so much better. And I think that, again, doing big builds with a lot of fans, the convenience of it is really great. So like I said, check out the review. Again, you can see more pictures of the fans inside of a case. And they do light up pretty well. I mean, you can see that I turned the front fans in this case off just to show you guys, but this lights up the entire.
That's lit up pretty well for three fans.
Yeah, for three fans. And you can see what they look like here.
But it's so nice, or would be so nice, just getting rid of all that cabling, right? I mean, the Lian Li all-in-one that I looked at recently had similar fans, but not quite the same, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, when you move to something like this, it makes your life so much easier when you're installing.
Yeah, so I gave them a 9 out of 10. The three-pack that comes with the controller is $109.99, which I think is a fair price. I said the only thing is that Molex connector. I wish it didn't have that. But overall, I really like these. Check out that review as well. And Ryan, if you want to bring up your screen to talk about your review. But I know you have the mic there with you as well. Ryan took a look at a mic.
I did. Let's share that. There we go. So I looked at the AverMedia Livestreamer Mic 350. Taking a look at quite a few mics over the years. This is another great one. It's, I think, maybe our first product that we've looked at from AverMedia, unless you've looked at like a capture card or something in the past.
I don't believe if it was, it's like 10 years ago.
Right. And that's kind of what they, in my viewpoint, were known for, you know, capture cards. They've got some cameras as well. But we took a look at this microphone, and it's a pretty nice microphone, to be honest. We've got our specs here. One of the cool things about it is, again, it's one of those microphones, we've been seeing this a lot, that has multiple polar patterns. So it has both cardioid and omnidirectional. So you're going to want to use that cardioid when it's just like right in front of you. You're the only one speaking into the microphone. But it has omnidirectional in case you want to do something face-to-face or you just need more pickup around the microphone itself. So that's always a nice feature there. USB powered microphone, and we're just talking about these Type-C and Type-A connections right on that laptop. This microphone has a Type-C connection on the base of the microphone, and they've included a C to A cable, but they also include an A to C adapter. So nice. This microphone would have worked with that laptop. They included that adapter, which is a pretty nice feature. Very nice. Has a nice sturdy metal base that screws into the stand. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Everything that kind of ties in with that stand. But it's just kind of got that tube design.
Do you want to show us?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got it right here. You did it. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Let's get it in focus, baby. You hate my camera. I know. We'll get this thing.
Well, that's fine. We get focus it good.
You get the idea. If my dumb face wasn't in the way. But we've got a top section here with a nice metal surrounded pop filter integrated. You've got this red ring at the top, which you might think would illuminate like when the mic is hot or on mute. It doesn't. It's just a nice shiny red metal ring. I think that's a missed opportunity there to kind of make that illuminate somehow. But then down on the metal body, we've got this top dial here that you can press. Whoops, wrong button. Press in here to mute and unmute. No tap to mute functions like we've seen on something like this Elgato mic here or the HyperX Quadcast. So it does introduce or can introduce some noise when you're muting and unmuting to your recording, but you can also adjust microphone gain there. And then we've got this other knob here that allows us to switch between our inline monitoring port on the bottom, is right here, or some system monitoring as well. Again, an infinity knob here to adjust that. At the bottom, here's that switch to adjust between omnidirectional and cardioid polar patterns.
Nice.
And then that Type-C port there. Speaking of that metal base, just a nice
metal. Most of the whole thing metal, it seems like.
Yeah, it's nice and sturdy. Like, nice. This thing is tough. It doesn't feel cheap by any means. Nice build quality to it. No complaints there at all. Has a really nice metal stand as well. Let's just scroll down to that there. So you've got this metal stand that kind of goes up on the sides of the mic to hold it, and you can swivel, but it's got this groove in here to kind of help with cable management, especially when it's like on a microphone arm. It just helps route those cables there, and it's kind of a nice like high-end look to it, in my opinion. Doesn't look like your standard cable routing there. But it also has this really nice threaded knob there for when you're attaching the bass, but that also attaches to their optional shock mount. So they've kind of, you know, designed it to have similar aesthetics between their desk mount and their shock mount. And it's just like a really nice chunky knob that's easy to work with. You don't have to like fiddle with screws or a smaller fitting or anything. So it's just real nice and easy to use. They also include some software that is optional, but you can utilize this to not only adjust like the EQ of the microphone, you can adjust what I call fun features, like turning your voice into a robot, or, you know, lowering your voice, high pitch. They have some other voices that you can enable, but you have to create an account and log into the software with it. I'm not a huge fan of having to unlock it, but if you want that type of feature, it's there and included. You just have to sign into the application. It also does some voice routing. So I know we've mentioned the Elgato Wavelink software in the past that allows you to add and remove audio sources. This Vibe Engine software can do that as well. However, I was having a lot of issues with the software crashing, moving between modes. If you see here, I've got it in just standard mode, but there's this little switch up here to move into mixer mode. Having a lot of issues moving into mixer mode and the software crashes, going back to other mode and crashing. Just really finicky software, unfortunately. And I know I'm not the only one that's encountered that with this microphone software. So just kind of unfortunate there, because it is pretty powerful. There's all sorts of things you can adjust and tweak to your liking, right? It's got echo cancellation, noise suppression. You can use their own AI noise suppression or kind of control your NVIDIA RTX noise removal here as well. It has de-esser and noise gates on it. So, you know, if you want to adjust your de-esser, set the threshold, the, you know, how quick it is to respond to things, how quick it's going to let up on the your de-esser. It's really fully featured software. Just unfortunate that it crashes like it does. So hopefully they get that worked out and release an update to it. But again, here's that, you know, fun menu where you can do man, woman, robot, baby, monster, all sorts of cool stuff. If you are into that and want to do that. But overall, the sound of the microphone was really good. I do have some audio samples in this review here towards the bottom in both the cardioid and omnidirectional polar patterns. So I've got those recordings there. You can kind of listen to the microphone. And Evermedia did send over, I just want to mention real quick, they sent over some accessories that you can bundle this microphone with. The first one there is this arm that I'm kind of showing off, and I'm really showing it off for with a camera because, yeah, it'll hold up a DSLR.
I was wondering.
A lightweight DSLR looks... or... Go ahead.
No, I was saying that arm looks really nice compared to a lot of... I mean,
it is.
I have this kind of crappy arm right here that's like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you compare...
Yeah, that.
This, the scissor arm that I use most of the time to this thing that's like this metal arm, nice, like firm settings. You can move it and adjust it, and it's going to stay there exactly where you want it, which is really nice. And it's got the strength to hold up a mirrorless in my my setting there. But it also obviously holds the microphone in place. So you can add that arm to a bundle, but they also have another bundle that includes an additional pop filter that attaches to the body of the microphone. In my opinion, like, it's just this metal mesh in this ring. It almost felt like not worth it. And when I did my recordings with that on and off, I couldn't tell a difference. I tried, you know, making a difference. I think you'd really, really have to like overly pronounce your P's and pops and really make an effort to outdo the integrated pop filter on this microphone. But they also have the shock mount as well. And again, I mentioned that like threading piece there. It's a really heavy duty shock mount as well. Mounts to the arm nicely as well. So that's kind of a bundle that they're offering right now. The initial bundle is like the microphone, the shock mount, and the pop filter. And then they have another bundle that has that bundle as well as the arm with it. So yeah, overall, pretty nice microphone. Again, real solid build quality. Sounds really nice. The omnidirectional doesn't sound quite as good as cardioid, in my opinion, but the difference isn't really major or bad enough to like not recommend this by any means. Just there is a little bit of a difference in the recording quality, in my opinion. That smaller bundle right now is available for $200. And you might think that that's kind of high. I did it first, but then you think about the software that's also included. To be able to mix all those audio channels and add different devices and adjust them exactly how you want to your outputs as well is a really powerful feature. If they could get that software fixed and more stable, I think this really makes it worth that $200 price point. If you want to add on another about $180 for $379.98, you can get the whole bundle with the arm as well. Again, this arm like has a nice swivel, you know, feel to it.
Yeah.
The arm strength is nice.
I always like consider, I'm like, should I get an arm? And then I'm like, the really nice ones are like 150. And I'm just like, I don't want to spend that on an arm. But
yeah,
you will notice the difference. Like this little thing, I forget how much this was, maybe like $30. Like it gets the job done, but it's not great. And it doesn't offer a whole lot of flexibility, I would say.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to keep this Avermedia on the desk, but use it for the camera feature, right? Since it can hold that camera up, I'm going to use it for some other things on my desk in order to get that camera into some angles that I wasn't able to do with this camera here. That's just on like a little mini tripod. And then this mic arm is just going to stay here because size wise, it's actually kind of a small arm and gets exactly where I want it. Solid build quality. Like I said, no tap to mute, which I really miss or would miss.
You're so used to it since you started with the quadcast, like, and then you have
doesn't add any noise to it. But anyhow, yeah, give it an 8 out of 10.
Very, very cool. Well, definitely check that out as well. And then our final review, like I said, we're 2 weeks for reviews. I took a look at this keyboard right here, which is a 60% keyboard. This is the Mountain Everest 60, and it's incredibly cool because 60% keyboard, one thing that you don't get with pretty much all 60% keyboards is arrow keys. And as you can see, they've set it up so you actually do get arrow keys on the keyboard, which is really, really nice. And then on top of that, for people who do need a number pad, they do sell a bundle with this number pad right here. Same build quality, same mechanical key switches. And the thing that's cool about this number pad is that you can put it on either the left or right of the keyboard. So if you're working and you need the number pad for work, maybe you put it there on the right side. But if you're gaming, maybe you're Ryan, you're playing MMO, you can put it on the left side and reprogram it for macros, which would be really, really awesome. And then when you're not using it, you just have, again, this very small form factor, keyboard on your desk. It's not taking up a lot of space. So I was using this for the past week and I really, really like it. It has some really unique features, and just like the Cooler Master keyboard that you reviewed, Ryan, this has a lot of features that you find in higher end keyboards. And I do think that, you know, if you want to compete at the 60% form factor, you have to do these things because, 60% is really where we saw custom keyboards sort of start. Then we saw some more TKLs and things like that. But 60, 65 was like when we started seeing a lot of these features. So one of the cool things about this keyboard is that, one, of course, you're going to get mechanical key switches. It is a hot swappable design, meaning you can swap the switches out if you want. They also use Cherry stabilizers, which you're not going to be able to hear this that well, but like, Cherry stabilizers are some of the best, and the fact that they're on this gaming keyboard is really, really impressive. And it just, again, makes the typing experience really, really good. PBT double shot keycaps here, so you have those don't show shine or wear. They feel so much better than normal ABS keycaps, so you have that as well. Oh, another cool thing about this too is that, so the height adjustments on this keyboard, you have removable pieces, but the interesting thing about this is that in order to raise it up, they're just magnets. So they just magnetize together, right? So I lifted it up once and then I can just put it on the bottom there. How cool is that? And so then if you wanted to do more, obviously, let me take this one off real quick. I can just go ahead and again, put them on there and then right back on the keyboard, and you can set the adjustment how you like it. That's super, super cool. Another thing that's also cool while I have you guys here is that you see we have three USB ports. They're all like, you can use them all with the cable, but just one cable, right? What's nice about this is if you think about this again, people who are getting 60, 65% keyboards, what are they getting? They're getting that coiled cable, right? A lot of these keyboards have the connection in the center, which means your coil is going to go off. It's not going to look great, but you can put it on either side depending, on how you have your setup, depending on if you are going to go the coiled cable route. But it's just functionality.
It seems like functionality, but like extra cost. Like, why not like put the put it sunken in to the body of the keyboard and then have the routing channels like we've seen on other keyboards. Yeah,
that is very true.
Almost, I don't know.
I did like it because, again, you know, certain keyboards will put it on the left or the right, but depending on, like, especially desk setup, like, okay, I have my cables routing out from this side, then it has to go all the way around. It just doesn't look right. I do like that for this. So you have that there as well. And again, you can see those little discs that you can put on there. The number pad, okay. Like I said,
you're not sharing it.
Oh, I'm not sharing the screen. How about that? Here's the little discs that you guys can
see. There we go.
Right there. But then, you know, the number pad here, it's the same overall design, you know, same keycaps, same mechanical key switches. So you get all that there. And on each side of the keyboard, you also have that type C that allows the number pad to easily just slide in there. And then for the RGB lighting, let's go to, where do we have lighting? So for the RGB lighting, of course, like any gaming keyboard, you have, you know, per key RGB lighting, you have all that. But there's also like this RGB sort of strip that goes around the entire side. Now, you can't control that lighting independently. It kind of just goes with that. But it is a nice little add-on. And if you do have all the lights turned out, like you do get some glow, which is kind of cool. One thing that's really cool is, you know, you have it plugged in. You plug in the number pad. The software and everything in the keyboard knows which side you actually plug it into. So then your effect goes, like, it's correct. It gets not, that's yeah. not messed up or anything like that, which I thought was really cool. I have a sound test of typing on this. It has linear, the one that we received had linear switches. I mean, it sounds really, really good. I was really, really surprised because we reviewed the Mountain Everest Max. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was the bigger keyboard that had like the screen, and it had the also had a number pad, but that number pad had like
a control dial, right?
It had like, yeah, it had a control dial on the top, and then it had like little screens on here and stuff like that. And that was like your, I would call that your stand, minus the add-ons. It was your standard gaming keyboard, mechanical key switches, but also it had like ABS keycaps. It was like, you know, like again, like your standard gaming keyboard. So when I got this to review, I was like, oh, they just made it smaller. It's not going to have any of these cool features. But again, PBT keycaps, you have sound dampening in as well. So this sounds really good. Again, a lot of gaming keyboards that we reviewed in the past, they have like an echo or they don't feel as good. You have the Cherry stabilizers, which help that as well. So they've added so much to this keyboard that it really, I wouldn't call it a normal gaming keyboard anymore, just because it has a lot of the features you get in custom keyboards. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's $109.99. And then if you want the number pad, it's going to be $135.99. They also sell different keycaps sets, colored keycap sets, because I think if you want to compete at the 60% keyboard, you want some different keycap sets, but they're only like $16, which isn't like a lot. You know what I mean?
Set? Yeah, that seems pretty for ABS set or PBT.
Not sure. Let's see.
Does seem very affordable.
I think they're ABS, to be honest. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Because it doesn't. No, I'm not sure what the keycaps are, but they're like I said, you can go on the website and pick different ones. The only thing that I would have liked to have seen is a white chassis, white or silver, because you only get the black chassis and, like, you know, colors like this with the keycaps
would look really nice. White.
Yeah, with the white. But overall, like I said, I'm really impressed. It kind of shows you that Mountain like took feedback from their Everest Max and were like, okay, let's make this more customizable. Let's put in the things that make the typing experience better. And they did that with this. So like I said, I really like this. Like I said, I gave it a 9 out of 10. So check that review out as well. And from there, we'll move on to the Gigabyte event, which was cool because it was in San Diego. It was kind of nice.
Right down the road. So
it was nice because people were like, oh, I got to fly back to here. I got this. I was like, oh. 20 minutes down the road, so it wasn't bad. But this past week, Gigabyte had an event here in San Diego to go over their Raptor Lake refresh motherboards. Now, I covered all this in a video on our YouTube channel. If you want to check it out, it's, I think it's like an 8 minute long. It's decently long, going over all the new stuff that they showed us. A lot of new features as far as like things on the motherboard, which I think they're really designed to help you save time and things like that. And I think that was the kind of key takeaway from the event, because again, this is just a refresh. So you're not necessarily going to see a ton of new stuff with an Intel refresh, right? So, but we, like I said, we'll go over some of the stuff. So first they have a new XMP booster. Basically, the new refresh processors will have a better memory controller. Gigabyte also redesigned their memory channeling on the board. They reinforced their board, like the boards as well. So you'll have like a XMP booster up to 8266, and you just enable it in the BIOS. Like that's all you have to do. If your memory can do it, it will do it, which is really crazy. Mm. And they had a system there running that, and that's just insane speed for DDR5. So you're gonna have that. This is my favorite thing, because and I'm sure you know too, Ryan, is like installing M.2.
Exactly why you like this. Oh yeah, it's a pain.
Installing M.2s, it used to be like these little tiny little screws and you have to do anything. They have this new thing called, I think it's called Easy Latch Click. Yeah, Easy Latch Click. So you see this little latch right here on the side. This is made of metal, so it's not like plastic or anything like that. Good. It's made of metal, and you just can just like push it down and the entire thing will come off. So the entire part of, you know, the bottom heat sinks will come off. All of your M.2 slots also have a latch in them as well. So completely toolless, unless you needed to move this over for a longer one. But most of our M.2s are 80 millimeters long. So you have all those. And then when you put it back on, it just clicks into place. We have watched the video on our YouTube. You can see it in action, but it just, again, just clicks into place.
And then the whole piece acts as the passive heatsink as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So this is a heatsink on this one. And this heatsink has RGB lighting, but just like we saw on those fans, we have the Pogo connection right here. So no wires to worry about disconnecting and connecting. It's all done for you. It's cool. Super, super simple. And you can see that connector there.
Heatsink on that.
Like, yeah. So their highest end motherboard will come with this big ass heatsink, which we'll talk about. But they also have it for all of the boards that have not the bottom heat sinks, but that top Gen 5 heat sink will also have this system in place. So it's just easier to take these things on and off. And again, swapping out things, it's especially when you have your system all done, it does become a pain in the ass. So it is just, it's nice to have that on there for sure. And then they have their PCIe Easy Latch Plus and PCIe Easy Latch. The Easy Latch Plus is just the button towards the front end of the board. I don't have a picture of it, but if you look at any of the boards, you can see it on this board. It's right here. It's just a button that releases the top PCI Express slot. So then you can easily pull out your card, especially with a massive M.2 cooler here.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, you have that massive cooler. You've got the heatsink for the M.2s. There's like nowhere to get your finger in there to unlatch, or like, heaven forbid, you use a screwdriver or something. Like that's always the scariest. And
I do that all the time.
It slips off, and
scratch up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So you have that. That's the what's this one called? That one is called the PCIe Easy Latch Plus. And then there's PCIe Easy Latch. So the boards that don't have the button will have this little tab here, right? So this little tab also releases the card, and you can see that it sits in front of the M.2. So it's just easier to access. And I think, again, like Ryan said, like putting a little screwdriver down there and trying to get it, and then you press it too hard and you rip off the end right here, which I've done as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of the new additions that you'll see on the entire line of these boards. Also on select models, you will get Wi-Fi 7. So we're gone from Wi-Fi 6E to Wi-Fi 7 now. 5.8 gigabits a second of transfer, multi-link operation, and boards will come with their new ultra high gain antenna, which we saw at the event as well. So those are the kind of new technologies that you're going to see and new features you're going to see from Gigabyte. Again, the easy latch stuff is my favorite because it just, especially if you're swapping out cards or swapping out M.2s, it just makes life so much easier.
Think about adding this M.2 that I put in here last, and it was, especially in my build with hard tubing water cooling, I'm like, I'm not taking this thing apart just to put an M.2 drive in here. So I was like, reaching around the card with that tiny little screw. And I think I ended up putting putty or something in the screw head and the screwdriver to keep it like stuck on there so that I could get it in the spot. This would make it 10 times easier.
Yeah, that's kind of the big thing. So just going over the boards that we were shown at the event, starting at the highest end is the Z790 Aorus Extreme X. It is a big board. And it does come with that massive M.2 heatsink here as well. It's really, really big. It also has an LCD screen on it, and it's going to show you system stats in real time, which is really, really awesome here. So you have all that. It is a big board, 5 M.2 slots. I mean, it's completely loaded out. The power delivery on it is 24 plus 1 plus 2. 10 gig LAN, 2.5 gig LAN, and the Wi-Fi 7, Thunderbolt 4. Like, this is going to have everything you want, this board's going to have. It has everything. So moving on from that, a step down is the Gigabyte Z790 Aorus Master X. You can see it's a little bit toned down. You don't have things covering everything. But it also has the button here to release the easy latch stuff here as well. 20 plus 1 plus 2 power phase design. It also has 10 gig LAN and Wi-Fi 7, 5 M.2 slots with the Gen 5 right here. And you're also going to get USB Type-C, USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 on this as well. And then they're bringing back the Pro line because they didn't have the Pro line last generation. So they're bringing back the Pro line, and the Pro in this generation is going to be their all-white motherboard, and it has a white PCB, which is something nice to see. So all white PCB on this, all white themed, as you can see, white and silver, really. There is some RGB lighting up here. This one is going to have an 18 plus 1 plus 2 power phase design. It does not have the button towards the front, but it does have the latch on there. And of course, it has the latches on the M.2 coolers as well. Also 5 M.2 slots, including a PCI Express 5.01. 5 gig LAN, Wi-Fi 7 with the adapter. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I'm almost 100% sure that the adapter, like the Wi-Fi adapter on this, is white as well, which is really cool. This board also has the, so you can see there's a sensor panel here. Typically, you would bring the, it would go from your graphics card to the panel, but you can see the connection here. They have a integrated connection on the board, so you don't have to go outside and come back in, which is nice for the sensor panel. So that's cool. One of the things that's cool on this board as well. So it's that really cool whiteboard there. And then the last one is the Gigabyte Z790 Aorus Elite X Wi-Fi 7. So they're going to have a Elite X AX, which has Wi-Fi 6E, but this one has the Wi-Fi 7. This has no Gen 5 slots, but it does have 4 PCI Express 4.0 slots on here. And then it's going to have 16 plus 1 plus 2 power phase design. And again, you will get the easy latch, but there's no button on the front of this. So yeah, those are the boards.
Cool.
So yeah, like I said, I think the biggest takeaway, from the event for me was, like I said, the easy latch stuff just is, the convenience.
Wi-Fi 7 is pretty cool too.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got
the gear to run it on.
Yeah. They got, but it's going to future proof you as well, which is definitely nice to see. They also, I didn't put in the article, but they also had a teeny tiny RTX 4060. Yeah. It's on all of our social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We just passed 1,000 people on our TikTok finally, which is kind of surprising because we've had some big videos before, And we just never got over 1,000, but we're over 1,000 on TikTok now. But yeah, check out that video. It's really cool. I actually had it in my pocket and I took it out. So that was cool to see as well. But yeah, cool event from Gigabyte. It was good to get kind of caught up on all the new stuff and all the new things that they're going to be coming out with. So that was quite cool there as well. Real quick, Casemont Friday, we have a build from Mons by Ben, which we haven't featured him in a bit, but we have his build here. This is called Custom. And as you can see, those crazy chrome tubing here on this is just...
That's definitely his style. Just those bends that they take these routes but they're so smooth and yeah, this is cool. It was nice. Yeah. We met him at CES last year as well.
Yeah, real nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's made to be sort of like a test bench showing off Aorus hardware here. But yeah, I just want to go through that really quickly, but you can see. It looks like this is like a dual CPU system, but that's just a reflection off of the water block. It's a Fantex water block there too. So,
very nice.
Yeah, real cool stuff. That's from the other side. You can see the Aorus power supply.
It almost looks like you could orient it on that to like sit back at an angle, which I think you can, right?
It can. Yeah. You can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that looks a little precarious.
Here's it at that angle, but it's kind of hard to see, but that's it at the angle. But yeah, really cool to see. Definitely check that one out and shout out to Mons by Ben because he is a cool dude. Like I said, we met at CES. Moving on to news, we want to get through this sort of quickly. Ryan was really excited about our first story here. AMD. Well, yeah, you were saying.
I am for sure.
AMD, it's been teased for a bit, but they officially announced Radeon RX 7800 XT and RX 7700 XT at Gamescom. And there was actually a lot of stuff being announced at Gamescom, which isn't necessarily a place where a lot of things get launched, but these cards were launched. Big thing with the RX 7800 XT, 16 gig of VRAM. Both cards are going to be powered by AMD's Navi 32. The RX 7800 XT is completely maxed out. So 60 compute units on the 7800 XT will give you 3,804 stream processors, 120 AI accelerators, 60 Ray accelerators, 64 megabytes of Infinity Cache, and of course that's 16 gigabytes of GDDR6. Game clock of 2,124 megahertz, boost clock of 2,430. The 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 is going to run at 19.5 gigabits per second. So that's going to give you a total memory bandwidth of 624 gigabytes a second. Total board power is 263 watts, and you're going to have two 8-pin PCI Express power connectors on that. So this is the card that you're thinking about getting.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
We always say wait for the reviews, right? So I'll probably just wait to see. But I mean, both of these cards are poised to go up against the 47. Well, they're 1440p gaming cards according to AMD, right?
Yeah.
At max settings with nice frame rates, right? So kind of going up against that 4070 card from NVIDIA at an amazing price point. I know we haven't talked about that yet, and if we want to mention it now or not, but
yeah,
I mean the 7800 XT starting at $500. Now they are going to have a reference board for the 7800 XT, not for the 7700 XT, and then they'll have a ton of add-in board partners. Looks like 9 partners there that will have their own versions of boards for at various price levels, obviously depending on clock speeds and cooling solutions and things like that. This has me really excited. Like,
okay.
And again, we're at that. It's kind of like with their 7900 XT and XTX, right? They had that just a very slight price difference. And when those first came out, I was like, you might as well just get the other one because it's such a small price difference.
Yeah.
Here, the same thing. A $50 price difference. You're getting 4 more gigs of memory. You know, the GPU is maxed out.
It also feels better at 500 compared to the NVIDIA cards.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The price feels all right.
Yep, absolutely.
Like I said, I'd wait for the reviews. The 7700 XT, you're going to have cut down memory as well as a cut down GPU. So only 12 gigabytes of memory on that one. That right. GDDR6 is going to run a little bit slower too, 18 gigabits per second. But you're going to have 54 compute units on that one. It's going to give you 3,456 stream processors, 108 AI accelerators, 54 Ray accelerators, and 180 TMUs. And that card is going to have a total board power of 245 watts. So same dual 8-pin. So no new connector on this either, which is good to see. And AMD did say that this is rounding out their 7000 series. This is it. So no more cards. And NVIDIA pretty much said no more cards on their side as either. At least in the enthusiast end, right? So finally ready for the next generation.
Already, it feels like.
Yeah. But it was nice that like AMD to clarify, like, yeah, this is it for this series. So we're not going to have any other cards coming out. But yeah, I like the prices. AMD, even with the 7900 XT and XTX, those were priced aggressively. You can see performance and stuff. Again, this is AMD stuff, so take it with a grain of salt, obviously. You want to see real reviews, and we'll see those when they come out, obviously. But yeah, it's...
It should be sometime next week.
Yeah.
Because this launches on the 6th.
Yeah, so... Of September. That is... September already. But like I said, I would like to see. So you're going to go back. So you were only in one generation of NVIDIA, and you're done with it.
Okay, so like in recent times, it was my GTX 970, then an RX 580, then my 2070 Super, and then I'll be back to AMD. Okay. I think.
Okay.
The Supers were good cards. Don't get me wrong. I've been spoiled by what this card has lasted that long, the 2070 Super, and being able to have those cores and NVIDIA broadcast supported, right? And using all those features. So we'll see how I am with AMD's implementation of some of those technologies, because I love having like the noise cancellation, being able to sit here and clap and you can't hear the clapping.
Kind of heard it, but yeah. But not like you would normally. You could barely hear it, but yeah. That's exciting. Like I said, I'll be excited if you get a new card. That means you have to get a new water block and do all the...
Oh, I know.
But you could get this GPU. You could get this next GPU, which is kind of a monstrosity. Max
Sun, I like it. I think this thing looks cool. Other than the two little fans.
Which is normally mostly sold in Asian countries. They have this new RTX 4090, which just doesn't look great.
From that angle, it's not that great, but from the side, I love it.
So it comes with this little...
I also don't like the implementation of the screen.
But well, here's the thing. Cool altogether. Yeah, so one, it has five fans. So you have three fans here, right. Two on the side that are smaller. Which, wonder how fast they run, because they're going to have to be loud.
Those are going to scream.
Who knows? But then you have this little display, which appears that you can move it around, which is kind of nice. Because, again, you have your power connector here, which means it could overlap, which wouldn't be ideal, you know, unless you're going back over the back of the card. But that's an interesting card. You know? Looks like there's like little magnets to hold that little screen on right here.
And those are little exhaust fans. So they're pulling air away from the heat sink.
Yeah. Which is interesting if you just, again, you have your car, it's going to push it to the glass. If you have glass.
Right. Yeah. Depending on your orientation. If you've got it vertical, though,
it might be all right. Yeah. So that's an interesting card. I'm not a fan, but hey, Ryan likes it. So, cool. On the Raptor Lake refresh stuff, a company, a retailer did leak, or posted the upcoming processors. So Just real quickly, Core i9-14900K, 24-core, base clock of 3.2 gigahertz, going to boost to 6 gigahertz, 36 megabytes of cache, 125-watt TDP. All these are 125-watt TDP, kind of expected. i7-14700K, 20 cores, base clock of 3.4 gigahertz, boost clock of 5.6 gigahertz, 33 megabytes of cache. i5-14600K, 14 core, base clock of 3.5 gigahertz, boost clock of 5.3 gigahertz, 24 megabytes of cache on that. So those are the three main processors I think most people would be most excited about. It's a refresh, so again, it's not as exciting, but with the new motherboard stuff coming out, maybe people who were like looking to build, and again, I think now compared to when this did launch, parts are more available. I do think a DDR5 is cheaper too, so it could be a better build now than it was before for some people. So I'm excited to see this come out. That will be coming out pretty soon, so stay tuned for that. Now here's a laptop you should get, Ryan. So we have the Yoga 9i from Lenovo, right?
Okay.
We have this. You see, it's small, you know, but they have a Legion 9i. You remember their Legion series, you know, their Legion gaming stuff? Well, they have a Legion 9i RTX 4090 and the world's thinnest water cooling system. That this is kind of what it looks like.
I'll take two.
Yeah. Look how it's big. It's
it's quite large.
Yeah, this is kind of what it looks like.
So they want you to run it propped up like that?
No, that's
probably to get some.
I mean, there are fans down there, but and there's massive. It's all heat sink here, and those are exhausts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a 4090 in this. I mean, and then like I said, the water cooling system in there. Lots of fans. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. 64 gigabytes of DDR5, 1 terabyte SSD. Killer networking. I think the max. I don't know if we have the price on this, but the max, if you maxed it out, I think I saw somewhere on Twitter where it was like close to $5,000 or something. Wow. If you completely maxed it out, you know what I mean? With everything, that you could get the highest end display. But it is cool. It is nice to see like Lenovo kind of pushing this, because usually you see this from like Alienware, Dell, you know, Asus and MSI. So it's cool to see. I think Lenovo's Legion laptops, I'm more of a fan of than their desktop stuff.
We saw like one of their laptops we saw at CES. It was really nice. We didn't get to spend much time with it. We were looking at that dual screen laptop they had, but I feel like it had some pretty nice specs.
Yeah, but it is interesting because every time we go to CES, there's like all the normal laptops, all like so much space, and then like in the corner, there's like the Legion stuff. And
here's our Legion stuff too.
It's like one laptop, if they would want to compete per se against an Asus or
I mean, yeah, that's. I feel like they're going against. They're not even to me going against like an HP Omen or Alienware. Yeah, they're still just too. They're small enough with their Legion brand that it hasn't reached those other companies. Well, you know, their offshoots.
This next product, they're going to be going directly against Asus.
You did skip the story, by the way.
Did I skip a story?
The AMD processor.
Oh, okay. So we'll do that. We'll do that first. So Threadripper. Do you remember Threadripper? When's the last time you heard of Threadripper?
Not in a while. I have helped a buddy build a Threadripper system, so that's about it.
So new Threadripper processor. It is a Threadripper Pro, so you're not going to see it on the retail side. It will come in integrated systems. Ryzen Threadripper Pro 7995WX, 96 cores, supports DDR5 memory. Over 5 gigahertz boost frequency on I guess
it's a big boy processor.
Yeah, the big boy processor. 96 cores, 192 threads.
Good God.
First core count upgrade since the Threadripper 3000 series. So this is a beast. It was spotted in the HP Z6 G5 workstation, which we assume is going to be a launch for this. But yeah, man.
Wait, that speed can't be right.
No. So that speed, the base speed is off in this because it says 7.97 gigahertz. Yeah. That speed's off. I think I said that in the article. Did I write this?
Yeah, you did. It's 5.14.
Yeah. So, but yeah, pretty, 96 cores, man. That's just a lot of cores.
I mean, there's applications for it, obviously.
But again, this is the pro. So again, you won't find this for sale. You have to buy the whole system. It's made for workstations, but I do get excited about just high core counts. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
What would have taken so many server use of space, right? Rack use to get 96 cores just like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, now going back to Lenovo, as I said, they're going to be competing directly against Asus on this product. And this product is their new Lenovo Legion Go, which one we talked about it. It has the design where the joysticks come off the sides.
Right.
And much like a Nintendo DS, we talked about that. It's going to feature the Ryzen Z1 Extreme, which is the same one that's in the... why can't I think of the Asus...
Ally?
Yeah, the ROG Ally. 8.8-inch QHD screen. 16 gigabytes of DDR5, $799. And it has some interesting things. So this is kind of what it's supposed to look like. Definitely not as cool looking as the ROG Ally per se. I don't know what this is. Is this like a...
That's got to be a touchpad, right?
Touchpad? I don't know what that is.
It's got to be.
Has a stand, which is nice.
I like the kickstand,
if you're watching media. Or
I like the ventilation on the back, the openings there.
Yeah, you get the
ventilation. That's a lot more than the Ally.
You have some ventilation up top here. The stand's nice if you are using it as a computer. You're typing your emails. You can put it down, get a Bluetooth keyboard or something. You can see all the buttons on the back here. And again, these are detachable, which I assume they're Bluetooth. But they're detachable. And the really interesting thing is, they're selling these AR glasses. See this? It says with Legion Glass, AR glasses sold AR separately. Glasses.
Okay.
So I don't know how this is going to work, but if you could have the
app... Over on the side, he's got it sitting on the table over there.
Yeah, so you could hook the Ally up with these, and I guess see the cable coming off him right back here.
Yep, not the Ally, but the
He has the Legion device. Go. Yeah, the Legion Go sitting
right
here.
Plugged in there.
He has a cable going into his glasses, and it looks like he's sitting on his couch and playing. That's kind of cool. If you got to see the implementation, obviously, but if this is something where you could have, because the screen is only 8.8 inches, and you could be playing on this. It depends on how it looks. I want to see it in action. Maybe we'll see it at CES.
That'd be cool.
But that is kind of that's a selling point if it actually is, working the way that it does. And again, here's the detached controllers that it works. They're
pretty big.
Yeah. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that's going to be a thing or not.
Right. How well that is
implemented. Yeah, how well this does. But again, it just seems like this mobile gaming thing is,
It is. And you know what? Like, my boss just got an Ally last week, and he brought it in to work, and I got to take a look at it and mess with it a little. And he had just gotten it the night before, so he didn't really have much on there. But I played a little bit of Half-Life 2.
Okay.
And that screen and its high refresh rate... It was so smooth. Like, not that Half-Life 2 is really hard to run, but it was just so smooth looking. It was great. It didn't make any noise. It felt good.
The screen's an OLED, right? On the Ally?
I'm pretty sure,
yeah.
And I think it's I think it's, I feel like it was 120 hertz. I could be wrong though.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
But yeah, it looked really nice.
Nice. Well, yeah. Like we've said this for weeks and maybe months at this point now, just don't have a use for it. Like I would love to do that, but like in my free time, I'm like listening to or watching like a podcast. Like I'm not sitting down and like we game on Wednesdays. That's kind of, you know, and again, when I'm gaming, I'm going to be using my big, I don't know. But well,
his case was like, he's got his MacBook and his iPad for stuff. He doesn't have a gaming computer, but he's got a dock for all these other devices and it hooks right into his dock. And now he can play it on his
big screen. True.
Right.
That's very like, true.
That was great.
Yeah. We'll see how these do. I think, you know, as we come into holiday season, see how, and that one should be out by then. It'd be pretty interesting to see that. Also at Gamescom, Corsair announced a really interesting, their own desk, Corsair and kind of Elgato together. They announced this.
Yeah, this thing looks awesome.
This crazy look. Does it though? I mean, I guess.
I think it looks, well, it looks really good in their pictures, I'll say.
Yeah, so it's
but kind I like of it there, like this, as well.
And again, this isn't the full, this is like with add-ons and there's, this is all like add-ons, a lot of this stuff, but it's all stuff that's made to work with like, a lot of this is add-ons, but they have their own gaming desk now. It's called the Platform 6. It's a modular computer desk. And obviously it's a sit-stand desk, which is nice, but it comes with this rail system here.
That's awesome.
So one, it allows you to connect two monitors, but two, it's a rail system. So you can adjust where the monitors sit, which is really cool. And then this system here is compatible with, so you can see it like, in action here, you know, and you can have other things, you know, these are all Elgato stuff that's all kind of connected. Like you can have different things connected and it is, if you're like in their ecosystem, it really makes things a lot easier for you. You know, you can connect different things to the rail and you can connect the stands to the end here, as you can see. I definitely like that. But then the big thing, let me bring up their website because the picture we have isn't. You have all the, you have this whole top section too that you can add onto the rail section. So this entire top section here will give you like this sort of pegboard design. So you can do that. You can put like these shelves that are made to go on here. You have shelves for speakers if you wanted to. You know, you have the cable tray down here. You have a thing over here on the side. I mean, it's pretty cool. And then you have this, I don't know if this is an add-on too, where you can put your PC over here. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, I like this. I think it's really cool.
Did they list the price? It's going to be expensive.
I that's my concern.
How much do the base unit that just comes like this. So this would be the, well, not with everything, but like the base unit, just the desk and like the rail system
and the leg. The legs. I wouldn't be surprised if it was $1,000.
I think it'd be more than that.
You think 1,200?
I'm thinking $14.99.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
The tabletop looks. How big's the tabletop? Does it say?
Maybe
it
it's looks 6 feet because it's the.
Yeah.
Platform 6, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's cool. I think.
You could get in some real money in that configuration, like all the add-ons and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, cable tray, this tray thingy over here, this add-on over here.
Stand, you got your speaker stands. You have
all this add-on here on the speakers.
Yep.
You have the, well, I mean, if you're adding all the accessories too, they have all their, I mean, but it does work with all their stuff, which is really cool.
I like the power distribution on the top as well.
Right up here,
top of the just having access to some more power plugs. Use them every now and then, but if you could probably mount it somewhere else on there. Just having access to some more power that's not directly on the wall is nice.
Yeah, that is nice. But yeah, so that was a Gamescom one. Now you could go for this.
If Shane wasn't here, he'd probably ask for this at work.
Or you could go for the second thing, which was a really interesting. Really kind of interesting. It's not all that practical, but it is kind of interesting. So this company called Uneven, it's UNEVN, They have a base portable gaming desk. And you can see this is what it's like broken down. This is what it's like set up. The interest, and you're like, oh, well, I don't really want a portable gaming desk, right? Like, that's not the thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't like this product at all.
Shinny did ask for it at work, by the way.
I know. I told him to ask his supervisor.
Yeah, but so again, like, this is it's broken down. This is it set up. But the interesting thing is that it's a PC. Like, you put your PC in here. So it's a case.
I know.
And it holds your monitor as well. So here you can see your system in here. You can see where your graphics card is, motherboard. You have an AIO in here. I guess the power supply is on the other side. You have all that stuff here. You have a place where you can put your keyboard and a mouse probably. Here you can put a display. I don't know how big, probably 24 inches maybe. You can put a whole display in here, and it all breaks down. Again, here's what it looks like empty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So if I'm looking at this correctly, is that where the power supply is? Under the... See this power cable right here? It's kind of hard to see.
Yeah. You can't tell in the other picture because the...
Yeah, but I think it's... Oh, wait, no, that wouldn't be right.
Oh, that's a monitor mount. That looks like a VESA mount.
Yeah, but...
But why would you have a VESA mount inside? I don't know.
I think... See this rail right here? Does the monitor, like, lift up and then come out?
Oh, yeah, I bet that mounts.
Yeah, see. Yeah. That's cool. Now, again, how practical is this? Like, am I going to show up to my buddy's house with a desk that I have to set up?
Is it on wheels? I don't think it's even on wheels. Like, come on, figure out a way to put some wheels on it or have it come with a cart.
It is going to be heavy because, again, your normal PCs, your PC is probably at least, what, 40, at the low end, 40 pounds?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Cases, well, you think about some of these GPUs nowadays and motherboards.
Yeah. I mean, this obviously has limitations. It looks like this is a mini ITX board. And obviously this is a full-size GPU. So, and you have to also wonder, like, how hot is this going to get? Because that's on the top. I mean, it looks like that's glass.
They had, when you
on
show
the
it
side,
on the...
there is some ventilation, sure. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know. I just found it really interesting. I think it's really interesting. But, Shinny said, like, you can have a LAN party anywhere. Like, I mean, it would be cool to just show up with this and you're good to go.
I guess.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You ever, like, back in the day, go to a LAN party and you show up late and you're on, like, the janky end of the table?
Busted-ass table with...
Yeah, that nobody
wanted
to use.
The plastic edge is peeling off and it's like, you come out of there with scrapes all over your arm.
Yeah, so this would be... I'd be like, no, don't worry, bro. I got my own. I'm good. It is super, like, super convenient in the fact that you just, like, open it up, your screen pops out, you're good to go. How practical, like, where are you going that you need to bring your full PC when you could, like,
this that often?
Yeah, that too. Often where it makes sense. But I do think it's cool. I think it's cool. So we have this video and you can see more about it, but I think it's interesting, if anything.
That probably is the worst seat, is the guy duct taped to the rafters in the basement. That's
it
classic.
Looks comfortable, sort of, because you're just like, I don't know.
Until you got to go to the bathroom or something.
Yeah,
or
then you got to, like, wait till somebody gets,
like,
you down.
All right, guys, let me down. Really.
Talking about what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at another live mixer motherboard from ASRock. I have their Z790
the purple one.
Live mixer. Yeah, this thing, they did such a good job on the paint job on this. It really is good. So I'll be taking a look at that. Might have some other stuff coming up as well. So we already
What's her name's ship on Apex that we land at sometimes, where it's all graffitied and...
Oh, yeah, I forget. But we already took a look at the B650, so this is the Z790. Excited to take a look at that. Obviously, at the end here, we talk about any tech-related things. I know you just said you got to spend some time with the ROG Ally, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat. He brought it in, and I got to, mess with it for a little while. It's cool. It's comfortable. he was going to spend some time with it this week. He's out on vacation, and so he was going to be able to spend some time and really put it through its paces, it sounded like.
How did it feel in your hand? Like,
it felt, it was good. It was, yeah, it's, I mean, it's a plastic back to it, but it was comfortable grip size wise. Like, it didn't feel like your hands were way out here. We've got a Switch. The Switch is definitely smaller width wise. Screen size was good. Yeah, no major or things that I could tell, like, didn't seem, you know, like, oh, I don't like how they did this or that. No, it was good.
Nice. Well, I got to go to the Gigabyte event, got to see some friends, which was nice. I got to test sort of like the idea of just using a phone and then the ZV-1 at the event, which worked really well. And it was like, you know, because there was a couple guys that had like the big backpack with their camera and like tripod.
Had the whole CES setup like we're used to.
Yeah. So it was, so I think that's kind of what we're doing going forward. I might get a new bag for CES, just a little bit bigger. Because the bag, I have a sling bag that's not even the one that I used last year. Like, I have a really small sling bag now that just fits, like my phone, ZV-1, and a couple like little mini tripods, and that's it. I might get a slightly bigger bag for CES, but we'll see. I also got this like thermometer. So I'm sure, Ryan, you know Govee.
I saw that sitting on your desk in a picture you.
Yeah, so somewhere. It gets really hot in this room. It's really hot right now, but it's not as hot as it normally is because I have the air blasting, and it's not really making a difference. But I was like, how hot does it actually get in here? So I got this little digital, it's kind of hard to see with the glare, but
80, almost 82 right now.
Yeah, 81, and it's, yeah, so it gets hot in here. And I just wanted to see like how hot is it actually, you know? And this was like $10, $12 on Amazon. And then what's cool is that it comes with an app. Let me see if I can open it.
Really, I was going to ask if it has an app or
integrates
into their app, and then you could like have it do things based on temperature.
You can't do that. Cool. Now the app itself, so it's not Wi-Fi, it's Bluetooth, but like it gives you over time, like you can see the graph and like how hot it gets and stuff. So it is kind of interesting. And like this thing will store 2 years of data, which is cool. You know what I mean? I mean, for like, I think it was like maybe $12, like this little thing. And it runs off, it's not rechargeable, but it runs off like AAA batteries. It's supposed to last a very long time.
I'm surprised being Govee that it's not like integrated in their regular app.
No, that is their app.
Oh, it is part of their regular
app. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's part of their regular app. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it's just not Wi-Fi. So it's, yeah. That's the only thing. It's just Bluetooth. It's just like I had like an older Govee light, like RGB strip, and that RGB strip was just Bluetooth. It wasn't
Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going on. But yeah, make sure you follow us on our socials. I've been posting a lot more on our socials as well. I do expect to do some giveaways here too. So definitely excited for that. But I guess we're going to jump over to Twitch and do some gaming, I guess. Shinny's ready to play some games. You know, we're going to be gaming. So if you want to head on over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream. So if there's any issues, make sure you...
There might be an issue tonight.
Why?
Well, I was messing with it.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will go ahead and have that stream up. Everybody that was in the live chat, Taltosh, Nero, and Shinny, thank you guys for coming out, and everybody else. And of course, all you guys who listen later, we will see everybody next week.